Have you felt yourself trapped in a constant state of hyperarousal, locked in a fight or flight mode that just goes on throughout the day, day after day? If so, this episode is for you. In this episode, we're going to see how constant hyperarousal evolves in insomnia. We're going to see that it's actually a key component of any deep-seated inner struggle. And we look at how to meet constant hyperarousal in a way that it fades and leads you to where you want to be, a place of peace of mind and peaceful sleep. Let's take a look.
What a change had been so profound that I looked full at the problem in the face. Like, okay, insomnia, do your worst. I'm not running from you. I'm not going to be scared. It's just, sometimes it's just so simple. Like the truth has to be simple. Otherwise, it's not the truth.
I was so trapped in my head before. When I say my whole life changed, like my whole life changed.
I'm Coach Daniel, and this is the Sleep Coach School.
Welcome again. So glad you're here. Because I think this episode has the potential of really helping you and helping so many people that have faced this situation. And the reason I decided to talk about this now is that just a week or two ago, we had a student in one of our teams in the Insomnia Immunity Program who said exactly this. She said that she felt trapped in like a constant fight or flight mode. And this is not the first time somebody has said this, but there were some realizations that led me to see that, okay, insomnia has a component to it that I had not overlooked, but I hadn't really seen the full impact of. So that's a little backdrop, but we'll get to these things in a second. For now, let's just look at the outline of this class here. Firstly, we're going to talk about like the evolution of constant hyperarousal, how it happens, how it comes to be. And then we're going to look at what I now think of as a tussle and a struggle with insomnia, and then how to meet this state of constant hyperarousal. So yeah, the evolution of constant hyperarousal. We define insomnia on our channel as an ongoing and self-perpetuating struggle with sleep that is rooted in a fear of not sleeping. And I believe this is true. This is what insomnia comes from. But there's a but here. If being awake at night was really the only thing that our brain had identified as a threat that we were afraid of, the difficulties with sleep would become self-limiting. What would happen would be that we would eventually find ourselves awake at night and realize that there's it's okay, where nothing really happens, and the fear would subside by its own. It's similar to, like, if you use this silly example of balloons, that, you know, one can have a balloon pop near the ear and we become kind of rattled and scared of balloons. And that can be maintained. That fear can be maintained by us avoiding balloons, like us like not ever going near a balloon again, because when we avoid something, we inadvertently teach our brain that that is something to be avoided, something to be feared. But if, on the other hand, this person, you know, was okay with, you know, meeting balloons again or seeing balloons again or touching balloons again, they would kind of feel that they would teach themselves that there is nothing to be afraid of, right? The fear of balloons would go away. But, you know, the thing with this example is that balloons is something we can avoid forever, and we can maintain the fear of balloons forever in this way. But it's different with the night. The night, every day ends with the night, and we will all at some point be awake at night. So if the only thing we were afraid of was being awake at night, eventually we would see that there isn't something to be afraid of just by experience. In other words, we can see that fear of being awake alone, it can create something of a tussle, some difficulties with sleep, but for like a real struggle, an ongoing struggle, something else needs to happen. And so this is what happens. We start being afraid of not sleeping, typically because there's some stress in our lives. We are awake, which is typical when we're stressed. Our nervous brain, which is kind of hypervigilant, it starts identifying being awake as a threat. It's like, oh no, we're not sleeping enough. We got to do something about this. And then the sleep effort starts. Then we do something like we take some melatonin, but we can't control sleep. We can't outrun a perceived threat. So the sleep efforts don't solve our problem. It actually creates more of a sense of insecurity, and we have more struggle. We become more afraid. And what now happens is the key difference here, that when we have kind of this increasing amount of fear due to the efforts, then we can have a whole bunch of experiences. You know, when we're scared, we constantly think about the same thing. We may have palpitations. We may be breathing fast. We may be shaking. We may be feeling dizzy. You know, we may have like a knot in our stomach. All these things can be so uncomfortable that our brain that is in this hypervigilant state, it goes, oh no, this is no good. This is a threat. This is dangerous now. In other words, what's happening is we become afraid of feeling afraid. Our brain identifies fear as a threat and as a danger. And this fear can become greater than the fear of not sleeping. And what we can see so clearly now is, again, how if we only were afraid of not sleeping, we would eventually not sleep and learn by experience that this is nothing dangerous. But on the other hand, when fear triggers fear, this is something different. We can see how when we become scared of something, and then we're like, oh no, I'm scared. That means we're scared of being scared, right? That creates this escalating situation with fear triggers more fear, which triggers more fear, which maintains the fear, you know? And so this fear of fear, this is what leads us to a state of like constant hyper arousal. And this is really key to understand, because when we understand this, there's so much demystification that happens. We no longer think that, oh, there's something wrong in my brain or my immune system or my hormonal system or something like that. We see that, this is it. I become afraid of being afraid, and this maintains this loop. And I made this note for myself to not forget this, that I wanted to share that I hadn't really fully seen this until recently. I'd often come across people describing things that sounded like fear of fear. And I thought that, I would teach around that this is fear of fear. It's common. It's common. And sometimes we have that. I thought of it as kind of a facet or something that some people sometimes experience. But what I'm now seeing is that it's actually, you know, a core component of any like inner struggle, like, you know, what we call generalized anxiety, right? That's fear of fear, right? Panic attacks. It's literally like we're afraid of feeling fear, right? And I think really all inner struggle is rooted in this fear of fear or fear of other emotions or inner experiences. And so next topic here I wanted to just touch on was this, like, what in my mind is becoming the difference between like a tussle and a struggle. And I wrote down some examples that could help us understand this. So if somebody says, and this is common, somebody says like, you know, I had short bouts of insomnia, but nothing like this. This is a common in our Talking Insomnia episodes when somebody says like, you know, many years ago, I had a little bit of a difficulty sleeping, but, you know, nothing like this. That to me now is like a tussle. That person probably had a bit of worries around not sleeping. Maybe there was some effort, but it didn't turn into a fear of the emotions that came with being afraid of being awake. Like, it never became a fear of fear situation. So it became self-limiting. It kind of corrected itself. Or somebody who says, oftentimes somebody in our community has told a friend or something that they're struggling with sleep, and the friend says, yeah, I had insomnia too. I took some melatonin and that fixed it for me. To me, this was a tussle again. This is somebody who became a bit worried about their sleep. You know, there was a bit of fear of not sleeping there, but it wasn't deep rooted. They kind of experienced that being awake at night didn't do anything, and this became self-limiting. On the other hand, if someone says like, I sleep every night right now, but I'm not feeling any better. You know, my days are consumed by worries. To me, this signals that there's much more here than a fear of not sleeping. There is a fear of fear underlying this. And similar with this one, somebody says like, I'm actually okay with not sleeping. I hear what you're saying, Daniel. I've done my work here, and I completely understand that being awake is not harmful. And I'm actually okay with that. I'm actually okay with being awake at night, but it's the next day that really gets me. And what does that mean? Well, the next day, there will be a lot of experiences of fear. Like, you know, again, the palpitations, the shakiness, the jitteriness, you know, which is fear, that all comes from fear. And when we're afraid of that, yeah, then we have the struggle, then we have the fear of fear. So, you know, knowing this, the natural question now becomes, so how do we meet the situation? How do we meet the situation where we have this constant hyperarousal state? Well, I want to start here. Thinking of this like tussle situation again, where the main issue, if you will, is that we're afraid of not sleeping, right? We can understand, we can see that just education around this and what we call befriending wakefulness will really help. Because when somebody understands that, oh, being awake is safe, okay, get it. And they start, instead of trying to escape being awake at night, then they go towards like, okay, when I'm awake at night, I'm going to do something I like or something like resting or whatever feels easy for me. Then they're teaching their brain that being awake is safe and this these difficulties fade. So befriending wakefulness and education will help when we are in a tussle, and it will also help when we indirectly turn befriending wakefulness into a way of not only befriending wakefulness, but befriending the emotions that come with it. I often say that befriending wakefulness is a camouflaged way of also befriending the emotions that come with it. And often, even without teaching around fear of fear, this often happens. Somebody starts being like, okay, I'm going to do something I like to do at night. And that actually not only becomes a way to being okay with being awake, but also okay with whatever emotions come with it. In other words, befriending wakefulness became befriending anxiety. It became like befriending fear. And I think this is really, really what helps, because that constant hyperarousal is sustained by us treating fear as a threat, right? And the constant hyperarousal will fade when we educate our brain that fear is a normal human emotion and it's completely harmless. You know, we may feel very, very alarmed and our brain will signal to us very, very intensely, you get to do something about this. This is not good. You have to do something. But just because we feel very alarmed doesn't mean that there's something that requires us to be alarmed or something to be alarmed about. So that leads to kind of the practical thing. Okay, so what do you mean? So what do I actually do here, Daniel? And this is where it comes a little bit tricky, because what we're going to talk about here is actually very, very common in any like meaningful, helpful approach. They will say the same thing, but in very, very different words. Some people may talk about acceptance. We use often the word befriending. Some people say non-resistance. Some people say letting go, letting be, sitting with it, exposure. This can sound like there are many, many different things, and I got to find out how to do this correctly. But in reality, whatever word is used, they all mean the same thing. They all mean being willing to experience fear without trying to stop it. And you know, then people can be like, okay, well, how do I do that? Well, I would say there are sort of like two ways we can do that. One is more deliberate and one is more like, let's say, passive. And the deliberate way is to set off a little time every day, for example, to just sit with it, to just be like, okay, now I'm just going to sit here and be scared, you know, and just to allow ourselves to feel the emotion without doing anything about it. But very recently, a student shared that he had sort of taken this to mean that you should sit with the fear until it goes away. And he'd found himself sitting for an hour or so and becoming actually more and more anxious and more revved up, which is in my mind, because then, you know, sitting with fear started feeling like a chore or an obligation or something we have to do to make the fear go away, which then again turns it more to an effort, right? An attempt to escape it. So I think, yes, we can deliberately sit with our fear or our emotions, but it doesn't have to be a long time, you know, and we can actually, you know, befriend fear or accept fear or whatever we'll call it just as much when we're living our lives. You know, we can eat a taco while feeling scared and acknowledge the fear and seeing that it's there without trying to make it go away. Or we can, you know, hang out with our friends or read a book, and the fear can be there in the background. We can acknowledge it without making it go away. All of this is really acceptance. It is befriending. It is letting go. It's letting be. Whatever you want to name it, is experiencing fear without trying to make it go away. And when our brain sees that we are safe, then we find ourselves where we want to be, a place of peaceful sleep and peace of mind. That was all for this episode. Hope you found it really valuable, and look forward to having you back real soon. Bye for now. That was all for today. I hope you found this episode really eye-opening. And if you're looking for something more tangible, then head over to our website, thesleepcoachschool.com. You'll find several coaching options where our teachings can be contextualized for you personally. If you decide to join, we look forward to seeing you on the other side.